We have come now to the fourth Sunday of Advent. The birth or nativity of the Lord is imminent. And the theme, of course, this Sunday is that of the royal family of Jesus. He was born of the house of David. I've put in bold in the gospel text that reality to tie you to the great reading from the prophet Samuel that builds upon the dynasty of David. David, of course, was the son of Jesse, and Jesse and his family lived at Bethlehem. And Jesus would be born of that royal house. We tend to not think in these monarchic terms, but that's what God foretold, that's what was prophesied, that Christ would come and be part of that dynastic succession. And of course, although the royal family had kind of fallen into disarray at the division of the Judaic kingdom, nevertheless, he would still come from the stock of Jesse, the successor of David, Christ Jesus, and hence the prophecy that he had to be born at Bethlehem. In order that that prophecy was to be fulfilled, Joseph and Mary had to travel over 120 kilometres from the northern province of Galilee all the way down to Judea. And that was an arduous journey. I mean, how many people in their 20s could travel that far with sandals on dirt roads? It was wintertime, puddles, mud, and she was expecting. She was with child. And think of, you know, how awkward that would have been. And even if there was a donkey, and I presume there was a donkey, a beast of burden, that would have been still uncomfortable sitting on that beast of burden for so far a distance. So when we're having to queue up at the supermarket, or some idiot is turning the wrong way in their car in front of us, or we're fed up with this, or it's hot in the car, or something's not going well, or we're late, just think about how difficult that journey was. Yet God willed that for his mother. Yes, Mary is the mother of God. Some years ago, I was in a Bible group in a parish in Wagga, and there's a young lady there, about my age, when I was young, and she would not say, Mary, the mother of God. Mary's the mother of Jesus, she would say, but not God. And I said, why won't you say Mary the mother of God? After all, it's part of what we say, the Hail Mary. She says, I won't say the Hail Mary. It's not a biblical prayer. I said, pardon? It's not a biblical prayer? She said, yes. Later on, I realized that she was a Baptist who had become a Catholic, but ill-informed, and thus she, like some, was a confused Catholic. And I said, why do you think that the Hail Mary isn't a biblical prayer? Well, it's not in the Bible. And I said, I think it is in the Bible. It's in Luke's Gospel. At least half the Hail Mary is straight from the Scriptures. She said, where? I said, bring me your Bible. And she brought to me the Jerusalem Bible, which is one step above the Good News Bible. But both are below what we ought to be reading, in the sense that it gets back to translations. And I deliberately inserted the RSV text in today's Sunday readings rather than have the Jerusalem, because this is a pivotal text where the translation fails to meet the grade. And we can't make sense of this unless we put a bit of history in. The Jerusalem Bible was one of the first English Bibles that came out in the late 60s, 70s to replace the Douay Rheims. The Douay Rheims had been the standard English Bible text for generations. It was a translation from the Latin Vulgate, and it had a lot of thous and didst and wouldst and hadst, and it was somewhat archaic language, accurate enough, but it wasn't expressive, as they said back then. And I can see the point. I think sometimes you can get lost in some paragraphs of the Judeo-Rheims translation. So there was a clamouring back in the 60s and 70s for a new translation, and people were working on it. In England, we had the Knox translation coming out, exceptional translation. The New English Bible translation, which Fulton Sheen used to love, and other translations. The North American Bible was coming out at the same time, and of course the RSV, which is the Revised Standard Version, which is the bulletin text today. And Jerusalem was just ahead of the others. And it had this advantage, they claimed at the time, that we had now, up until that stage in history, always had a translation from the Latin Vulgate based upon the original text of Hebrew in the Old Testament, Greek in the New. The Jerusalem bypassed the Vulgate and went back to the original sources and translated from the Greek and the Hebrew into, not English, but French. The scholars, the biblical scholars, were French-speaking. They were giving a French Bible to the French people. We got the English translation of that. So that's why some texts in the Jerusalem just fail to meet what we expect, because, after all, it's a translation from the French. And it fails to meet the grade, I think, on this text from St. Luke. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary at the Annunciation, it renders it "rejoice, so highly favoured one." The original translation is "care caritomene" in the Greek, which is translated into the Latin "Ave plena gratia," which in English is "hail, full of grace." "Rejoice, so highly favoured," just doesn't meet the grade. Furthermore, it doesn't give you the Hail Mary prayer. The Hail Mary prayer is based upon the Greek, Latin, and the English, and that's what we have. The Church, of course, inserted the Mary after Hail Mary. "Full of grace" in the original Greek is one word. It's a very rich word, meaning filled to the brim in one word. And that we have broken up into "full of grace, the Lord is with you." Now, the word "Lord" here is not "Lord" like "Sir," but "Lord God." So the angel is saying, "You're the Mother of God, you're the Lord God." And that was then later confirmed by Elizabeth, who at the greeting of Our Lady, when she went to visit her, said, why are you visiting me, the Mother of my Lord God? And so that's the context of Lord God that we have to pick up on, which my Bible Christian friend had failed to grasp. And of course, the other part of the Hail Mary, "Blessed art you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb," comes from the mouth of Elizabeth at that encounter of the visitation. So the first half of the Hail Mary is pure biblical text. The latter part, "Holy Mary," Mary's a holy woman, "Mother of God," straight from Elizabeth again, "pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death, amen," the Church did give us. So the tail end is a church prayer, but the other part is a biblical prayer. I say that because we do meet people who are confused regarding this, and we should always be proud to proclaim the Word of God, and in particular prayers that come from the Bible, such as the Our Father and the majority of the Hail Mary. When Francis Xavier was instructing 30,000 people in a rather horrid fashion in converting people in India, Japan, and on the way to China, he wanted them all to know the Creed, the Our Father, and Hail Mary, the basic prayers or beliefs that we have, because they're so rich in their meaning and their origin. Having said all that, let us be proud to proclaim Christ to others as we approach his birth this coming week. Let's go through the last few days of that journey and, as I said, offer up the difficulties that's come our way, thinking of the difficulties that Mary and Joseph had. And of course, then that frightful day when they arrived at Bethlehem, their destination, where they were going, and they weren't welcome. They were not welcome there at their own home city. There's no room at the inn. Let's create room in our hearts and homes this year so that Christ might be born therein to give us his gifts of peace and joy.